there's a big difference between there's love your fellow Jew like yourself. That's called Avat Yisrael. But then there's something deeper. It's called Achdut Yisrael. You know, love my fellow Jew like myself. There's I and there's the Jew, and I love him. Achdut Yisrael means there's no I and there's no you. You are I and I am you. There's no separation. We are absolutely one. And only then could you truly love your fellow Jew literally like you love yourself. Because the question is, how could you love your fellow Jew like yourself? Nachmanides says it's impossible. How could you tell a person to love another person like you love yourself? It's impossible. We care more about my pinky than about millions of people dying in Africa. It's just human nature. Our love for ourselves is infinite, is boundless, is limitless. You know, we love ourselves unconditionally. How can you tell me I should love my fellow Jew like I love myself? I can't. And even by Jewish law, my life comes first. Rabbi Akiva, the great Rabbi Akiva, who said love your fellow Jew like yourself is a great rule. And the Torah said if two people are traveling in the desert and there's only enough water for one, Ben Petura said in the beginning that used to be the halacha, you should divide it 50-50. You drink and then we'll both die. But at least for now, we'll extend our life together for a short while. And Rabbi Akiva says no. And that became the halacha. Chayecha kaiten, your life comes first. My life comes first. So you drink the water and you'll survive and your friend will die. I have to take care of myself first. Love your fellow Jew like yourself. You have to love yourself before you can love someone else. You have to love the other person like you love yourself. So first you have to love and take care of yourself. That's why Nachmanides says, kamoicha means not literally like yourself. Like, kamoicha. Doesn't not literally like yourself, but like. Treat him respectfully, treat him nicely, like you like to be treated, but not literally. Comes along the Baal Shem Tov and says, no, we have to l'reacha kamoicha, kamoicha mamash, literally, like you love yourself. Just like you love yourself, it's unconditional. We don't see any faults in ourselves. That's why we can't accept any criticism. We hate criticism more than anything else in the world. We bristle at criticism because we love ourselves despite all our faults. We know our own faults better than anyone else. Our critics don't even know half of it. We know the skeletons in our closet better than anyone. And yet, we still love ourselves unconditionally. It doesn't bother us. So I have faults, so? So love your fellow Jew like yourself. You shouldn't see their faults. It shouldn't bother you. You should still love them. Just like you love yourself unconditionally, you should love them unconditionally. Just like you love yourself. Do you love yourself because it's a mitzvah to love yourself? Because it's a religious commandment? Because it says in the code of Jewish law, you have to love yourself? No. You love yourself, it's the most natural thing in the world. You love yourself. So the Torah says, love your fellow Jew the same way. Not because it's a religious commandment, it's a mitzvah. It has to be as natural, it has to be as genuine, it has to be as real as you love yourself. I know my faults, but I don't see it. It doesn't bother me. I don't get upset. I don't get agitated when I see a fault in another person. That's the sign whether you fulfill the mitzvah of love your fellow Jew like yourself, if it, you truly one. And that's what Hillel said. Rabbi Akiva said, love your fellow Jew like yourself. It's a great rule. Hillel said something even deeper. He says, what you hate to be done to yourself, don't do to your fellow Jew. What do you hate to be done to you? What's the thing you hate most? Criticism. You can't take criticism because you love yourself unconditionally. Despite all your faults. So when someone faults you and criticizes you and rejects you, you can't accept it. And you get very agitated. So when do I know that you truly love your fellow Jew like yourself, that you are one with your fellow Jew, and it's natural and it's genuine and it's real? When you don't fault another Jew. You see their faults, but you don't get agitated. You don't get excited. Just like you don't get excited about your own faults. You sleep like a baby. It doesn't bother you. It doesn't disturb you. Yes, you care for your fellow Jew and you have to help them if you see they have a fault. But you help them like a doctor helps his patient. It's clinical, it's very cool, it's very cold. You don't judge. The doctor doesn't judge his patients. He knows he has to help and he'll help. But there's no criticism and there's no judging. So yes, there's a mitzvah to criticize your fellow Jew, but without judgment and without harshness and without hatred and without venom. The doctor, before he gives a needle, he has to sterilize the wound. Before you sting and you criticize your fellow Jew, you have to sterilize and make sure there's not a shred of ego, of arrogance, of judgmentalism, of superiority, of looking down, of condemning, of harming, of being harsh. It has to be loving. and I'm here to help because I care about you, and I'm just here to help. I'm not judging. I love you, and I'm here to take care of you and to help you. That's all. But Rabbi Zusha of Anapol once told the Alter Rebbe, he heard from his brother, Abul Melech of Lezhensk, that the Hasidim, the students of the Chavraya Kaddisha, of Rabbi, the Maggid of Mizrich, used to take turns in taking care of the Maggid. And once Rabbi Lamelech was there, and then the Maggid was lying in his bed, and it was midnight, and he turned, he said, Melech, 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 do you hear what they're saying in the heavenly yeshiva, Masifta Derekiah? They're saying that the haftal erecha kamoicha, you have to love a rasha gomer, a complete rasha, just like you love a complete tzaddik. Equally. Just like you love a greatest tzaddik. Imagine you love a tzaddik. You have to love the biggest rasha, you have to love him with the same. But even there, you're differentiating. This is a rasha, this is a tzaddik. The ultimate love, Alter Rebbe was describing, is that every Jew's essence is divine, is godly. There's no differentiation. There's no Russia, there's no tzaddik. Every Jew is a piece of the divine essence. It's every Jew, and that's what I love. I love the essence of every Jew. That is that Jew's truth, core and essential truth. Whether he knows it or not, acknowledges it or not, is aware of it or not, it doesn't change the reality. That Jew, to his very core and essence, is 100% Jewish, 100% divine, 100% godly, 100% holy. And that's why you have to love every Yid. The highest level that a person can reach is, you develop a chush, a feeling, a sense of enjoyment, a pleasure in helping your fellow Jew. When you eagerly look forward to the ability to help a Jew, when you come alive when you help a fellow Jew, you have a feeling for it, you know, a sense for it. It's a chush, you know, that people have a certain feeling for song, music, they have a feeling for art, they have a feeling for intellect, but also they have a feeling, they feel it. It's more than just doing it. They have a certain sense of it, a feeling for it. A person has to develop a feeling for love your fellow Jew like yourself. A talent, a feeling for it, a sense of it, he has to enjoy it, he has to find pleasure in it. That's the highest level that a Jew can reach. When you develop a pleasure in doing a favor for your fellow Jew. The Baal Shem Tov once said that a Jew comes down to this world and lives 70 years. All for what reason? To do one favor for your fellow Jew. One favor, once in your lifetime. Could be a material favor, could be a spiritual favor. We don't know what that favor is. The whole reason your neshama came down into this world is for that one favor that you did to your fellow Jew. It could be any time of the day, any time of the night, any day of the year, at any age. Every time you have an opportunity to do a favor, you have to ask yourself, maybe that's the one favor. And that's the one reason my neshama came down into this world. And all that trauma and all that drama and all that, everything was only for this moment to do that one favor. And for that alone, it was worth the whole trip and the whole journey and everything that's accompanied with it was all worthwhile just to fulfill that divine mission, to do that one favor. So you can imagine how we have to approach the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael, the Haftal Erecha Kamoicha. They once asked the Alter Rebbe, which is greater, love your fellow Jew like yourself or love Hashem? You have two mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah of Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, which is really what davening is all about. The whole davening is focused on to fulfill and experience the mitzvah of love Hashem, Yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, and the Shema. You also have a mitzvah to love your fellow Jew like yourself. So they asked the Alter Rebbe, which of these two mitzvahs is greater? So the Alter Rebbe answered, Yahavta L'Recha Kamecha, love your fellow Jew like yourself. Which would really explain why it's placed right before davening. He says, loving your fellow Jew is what leads you to love Hashem. Why would you love your fellow Jew like yourself? Because I love the Jew within the Jew. The whole loving your fellow Jew like yourself is selfless, it's godly. So that's the entree, that's the opening, that's the introduction, that leads me. Inevitably, that will lead me to love Hashem. If you genuinely love your fellow Jew, you will inevitably come, and that will lead you to love Hashem. If you start out with loving Hashem, you may never end up with loving your fellow Jew like yourself. which tells me that my love of Hashem is not for real. Maybe it's delusional. Maybe I love myself. Lord, get me high. What can God do for me today? I'm on an ego trip. Spirituality could be the ultimate ego trip. How do I know that my love of Hashem is genuine, is for real? If the portal, if the gateway is love your fellow Jew like yourself, then I know that my love, when I'll experience in davening, love Hashem, it's for real. Because if I love my fellow Jew, it's a purely selfless act. Why in the world would I love someone else? My body only cares about its own myself. My ego only cares about itself. I couldn't care less about anyone else. It's only because I love the godliness in the other Jew. I love the Jew within the other Jew. So I care about godliness. So that means I care about Hashem. So that's the introduction. That's the portal. That's the gateway. You can't start davening unless you establish that I love my fellow Jew like myself. The Alter Rebbe once said on himself, he spoke very openly once. He said, I take upon myself Mesiras Nefesh. I'm ready to give up my life for Avas Yisrael. And he said, every Jew experiences Mesiras Nefesh. When you read the Shema, then you have to be ready to give up your life for Hashem. You have to think that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, you love Hashem with all your heart and all your soul and all your being, that a Jew has to be ready to sacrifice his life for Hashem's sake. If push came to shove, I love Hashem so much that I'm ready to give up my life for Hashem, if that's what it takes. But that's during Shema. Alter Rebbe says, I have that all the time. And I'm ready to sacrifice myself for Avos Yisrael. Till Mashiach comes, to instill Avos Yisrael amongst the Jewish people. This Shabbos is the 70th anniversary since the Rebbe became Rebbe. Yud Shvat, the yahrzeit of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, the 71st yahrzeit of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe. 70 years since the Rebbe officially became Rebbe, accepted position. And in that first Maimer, the Rebbe spoke about, the end of the Maimer, he spoke about Avos Yisrael. And he said that the Rebbe's, the Rabbeim, taught us by example. He didn't just preach. They actually lived and showed us what true, genuine Avos Yisrael is. And the Rebbe went and started telling stories of each of the Rebbe's examples. So the Alter Rebbe, he said, this is the famous story, that once in Yom Kippur, Alter Rebbe was davening in shul in Yom Kippur, and suddenly the Alter Rebbe took off his talus, went on Yom Kippur, he went and chopped wood, because there was a mother who gave birth to a child, and she was alone in her hut, and her life was in danger, she was alone, she was cold. So Alter Rebbe went, took off his talus, middle of Yom Kippur, went and chopped wood, went to the hut, warmed her up, lit a fire, cooked something, helped her out. So Alter Rebbe, on Yom Kippur, he could have sent his shamash, he could have sent his gabbai, he could have sent anyone else. No, he felt his woman was in danger, was in pain, and he dropped everything, and he went to chop wood and to make a fire and cook her some soup and feed her. So this wasn't just talk, this was action. Literally, love your fellow Jew like yourself. He says, the Mittler Rebbe, one young chassid came in, he was complaining about the struggles that young people have, sexual struggles that they have. He's pouring his heart out, and he was sharing his intimate life with the Mittler Rebbe, and the struggles and conflicts that he has. And the Mittler Rebbe rolled up his sleeves, and he says, you should know, from your struggles and your difficulties, my skin is all like dried up, is shriveled up. From all the Rebbes, the Mittler Rebbe was like, lived in a different universe, lived in a different world. He would go into trances every Monday and Thursday, and he would, for hours, he would meditate. He can speak Hasidus. Once he spoke Hasidus, 17 hours straight without interruption. He wrote the longest, the deepest Hasidus. I mean, the Mittler Rebbe was in a different world. And here he was so connected to this young Hasid with his struggles, which were so beyond the world of the Mittler Rebbe, and yet because of his Avos Yisrael, because he loved your fellow Jew like yourself, he so identified with him and became one with him that his challenges and difficulties physically affected the health and the life of the Mittler Rebbe. And the Tzemach Tzedek told the story. After the Alter Rebbe passed away, the Alter Rebbe would appear to him and teach him and learn with him and answer all his questions. And once he hasn't didn't see the Alter Rebbe for a long time, and he thought, why is Alter Rebbe upset at me? Why, maybe I'm not worthy? What happened? He couldn't figure it out. Why all of a sudden he has this richuk? Alter Rebbe is not. And one morning he was in shul, you know, getting ready for davening, right before davening. It's a perfect story. He was, you know, putting on his talus, and a Jew came to him. He says, Rebbe, please, I need a loan. The marketplace this morning. So in Lubavitch, the marketplace. I need a loan so I should be able to do some business. Someone says, listen, I'm middle of davening. Let me finish davening. And then, as soon as I finish davening, I'll go home and I'll get you the money. And as he's getting ready, putting on his talus and getting ready for davening, someone thinks to himself, wait a minute. The marketplace is very early. By the time I finished davening, and the Talmud said they took his time in davening. It was a very slow davening. By the time I get home and I give him, it could be he'll lose his business opportunity. He has to make a living. It wasn't that much or whatever he needed, a few ruble that he needed, but his life depended on it. His family, he had to feed his family. So the Talmud said they immediately put down his talus, took off his talus, ran home, found money, and ran after this Jew, found this Jew, gave him the money, so he was able to do business, and he went back. And as soon as he came back to shul, he put on his talus, so he washed his hands, Alter Rebbe appeared to him with a huge smile, and he answered all of his questions. So that act of Avos Yisrael, which preceded his davening, the Talmud Tzedek stopped his davening before his davening, put it all down, put it all on halt, and ran to help this Jew, then he was able to daven. Then he had a whole different level of davening, a whole different experience. So it was Avos Yisrael that he was ready to sacrifice his spirituality for a fellow Jew. That's why you say Adeinu Mekabel before you daven. Not just you're ready to sacrifice your physical inconvenience, you're ready to inconvenience yourself for your fellow Jew. You're even ready to sacrifice your spiritual self for your fellow Jew. That's real Avos Yisrael. His own spiritual growth and development and time to help a fellow Jew, then he merited to really daven. That means he was truly reached the highest levels. And then he told the famous story of the Rebbe Marash. Rebbe Marash passed away the youngest of all the Rebbes, lived the shortest. He was basically 48 years old. And he lived his life very, very intense. He used to be up very early, many times, 8 o'clock in the morning, he was ready after davening. Like everything was done very quickly. And once, he took a trip from Lubavitch and went to Paris. He took two of his rich Hasidim with him, and he booked himself in the biggest, fanciest, richest hotel in Paris. And the Hasidim, even though they were rich, they didn't want to spend them. They went to another hotel. And the Rebbe took a nice room, and then he asked, where's the casino? Or the bars or the casino? So they took him, and there was a young Jew there, and the Rebbe Marash sat down right in front of this Jew, and the Jew was busy drinking, you know, wine. They were wining and dining him, and of course it was non-kosher wine. And the Rebbe Marash, I think, touched his hand, and he says, Junge Mann, young man, Yayin Nesach, wine, which is basically, literally means it's spilled, it's poured. So non-Jewish wine that was touched by a non-Jew, non-Jewish wine, is metamtem es halev es hamoyach. It clogs up the Jewish heart and it clogs up the Jewish mind. And then he picked himself up and he walked out. And the Rebbe Marash was so excited, or he was so, that he didn't even notice. They didn't have elevators then. You're talking about in the 19th century. Instead, in these fancy hotels, they had people acting as elevators. In the hallway that you would sit down and they would carry you from floor to floor. So he was so shaken or like that he didn't even notice that they picked him up and they took him to a different floor. And then of course they brought him back to his room, and a little while later this Jew, he inquired who is this Jew who spoke to him, and he went to his room and they had a long talk, and he became a Baal Tshuva, and he became the father of a beautiful family in France. Family of God-fearing Jews, and he made him into a Baal Tshuva. Later on he said, it's been hundreds of years, such a holy neshama hasn't come down into this world, and he was like in the depth of klipa, he was like in the depth of the opposite of impurity, the opposite of holiness. So the Rebbe Marash, sitting in Lubavitch, in Russia, in those days it was a big deal to travel. And his life, every minute, every second was so precious. The few Fabrengens we had, it was very short. Everything was short. Everything, you know, he lived a very concentrated life. And yet he sacrificed himself, his time. He went all the way just to make one Baal Teshuva, just to save his neshama in the depth of the klipa and the tuma, and to reconnect him and return him back, restore his neshama and restore him back to Hashem. And then the Rebbe told the story of the Rebbe Rashab. The Rebbe Rashab, his younger years, there was a decree in Moscow against the Jewish people. He got ready to travel, to go to Moscow to nullify this decree. So his older brother, the Raza, suggested to his younger brother, the Rebbe, he says, why don't you let me go? He says, firstly, I speak Russian better than you. The Rebbe Rashab's Russian wasn't so perfect. He says, I speak languages. He spoke many languages. And your time is precious. You're the Rebbe. Your time is precious. You stay in Lubavitch. You can learn. You can daven. I'll take care of business. The Rebbe Rashab refused. He says, no, I have to go in person. The Jewish lives are at stake here. It's to help the Jewish people, even physically, not just... And he went, and he succeeded. And you see, his love your fellow Jew like yourself, it was real. That he sacrificed everything, sacrificed his time and his in person, try whatever he could to help the Jewish people. He says, in the previous Rebbe, he saw so many times throughout his life how he sacrificed himself for the sake of a fellow Jew, even one individual Jew, not just for the whole Jewish people. And even the Jew who was like the edge of the world, is so far away from the level, the heights, and the lofty level of the previous Rebbe, and yet he sacrificed himself and put everything aside there just to help that Jew. So the Rebbe's taught us by personal example. And that was the hallmark of Hasidism. Hasidim loved each other, like brothers. It was like a natural love. They had a feeling everything was loving and good and kind, and what's mine is yours. And they would say, love your fellow Jew like yourself, because I love the Jew even more than I love myself. Because I'm myself, I know my faults. And the other Jew, I only see good things. I don't focus on the faults, it doesn't bother me. And this was the hallmark of Hasidim. There was a genuine love between the Hasidim. So that's the first thing. Before you daven, before you approach Avodas HaTefillah, before you serve Hashem by davening, the first thing we have to do is we have to accept upon ourselves to love my fellow Jew like myself. And not just say it, but live it, implement it, mean it, work on it. That's the beginning, that's the introduction to davening. So next week, please God, we'll start Matoivu.